Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Can we say that we're not talking about the weather the rest of the week?
No, I don't think I'll be able to do that.
What do they call themselves? The Wolfpack?
I played one of the coldest games ever against the Tennessee Titans.
Look, it's the middle of January in Foxborough.
Yeah, it'll be a little chilly, and that's okay. I mean, we're at that time of the year.
Weather. Well, here in Boston, sunny but cold, temperatures peaking in the 90s.
Those temperatures, I can't even imagine.
The snowstorm they had, it was crazy.
You can have your $500 million jackpot, but I'll take this, baby. 4 episodes of Thundersnow.
It was mild out here yesterday, didn't you think?
Put your snow on my property.
The thing that I hate, Skip, about the game Sunday is that it's going to be in sub-zero temperature.
There were some complaints.
We're not going to need a lot of suntan lotion.
People wanted to see the gray cutoff.
God, you're so childish.
Yeah.
Right now.
And your kids die, too.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
I love it. We're going to get a week of weather forecast. It's going to be awesome. All the meteorologists sitting there going, oh, it's cold.
It's going to be cold.
It's going to be cold. Oh,
what's the weather going to be like? It's going to be cold.
And you watch. In the middle of the game, Blakeman will finally realize. He'll sit there and say, oh, he's touching the balls. Uh-oh. You know what? This ideal gas law thing, this was for real.
So this is a real law.
Cleet.
Yeah, you had a – so Cleet Blakeman is – right, the official. It's his crew, right? It's his crew.
No. It's a mixed crew.
Mixed,
but he's
the
referee.
He's in charge.
He's in charge, right?
Yeah.
Sort of like this show. You're in charge.
So he's the man, yeah. Yes.
So did I see this right? Because I saw you retweet this and have a nice little comment, which was actually kind of interesting. He's 3-5.
Yes.
The Patriots are 3-5
when he is the head ref. Now, he had the Jacksonville game last year.
He did.
Because we discussed this. Obviously, the Indy game. But
that was one of the wins.
One of the wins.
By the Patriots.
Can you imagine?
Remember the Carolina game, though? We had a big controversy in that game. That was one of the losses, I believe.
But here's the thing. Wait for it.
It's a good point.
The Deflate game. Flakegate game.
He was
right?
He was involved in it.
Right. So now that Indy game and Jacksonville, he's been involved in. So that's two of the three.
Feeling good about this game?
How is it possible for a referee in this league to be 3-5 in games in which he does the Patriots?
They only win, 80% of their games?
I'm just saying they go 12-4, 13-3. Like, you would think every referee is 4-2 at worst.
I cite conflict of interest.
I saw that and I was like, that is odd. What is it? Is it. Why are all these bad things happening to the Patriots when you're the ref? It doesn't make any sense. To me, I see that that's, your crooked nose buddies, that are taking all those bets and stuff like that.
I don't know what I'm talking about, right?
We're going ethnic now.
Something's going on.
Remember, every time you go ethnic,
gambling.
We lose you.
Shut up.
No idea.
Something's going on.
Sports insight from the Action Network.
I just thought it was interesting.
A huge resource for me.
Is actually 3-5. I just thought it was impossible for a referee to have 3-5 game record.
So the fix is
against
in.
The Patriots.
The fix is in already.
Maybe 5-5. Maybe even that.
So there's a built-in excuse. There's one right then.
Don't take excuses.
No, we don't.
We don't believe in excuses.
Okay.
All right. We're not excuse makers.
If I give you an excuse, you're going to... What's the saying? I don't know. Bill always says, if I give you an excuse to lose, you'll lose. Or whatever.
Oh, yeah. That was a Parcells quote,
Parcells,
I think. I think Bill may have
fine.
Stolen that one
yeah,
from
fine.
Him. I'm not really sure.
Bill stole it, and then Wiggy stole it.
And I don't think much of it.
People are like, oh, here we go.
Patriot fans think
the NFL's out to get him. No, I don't think that. I just thought it was an interesting number when I read the article. And I know last year, I guarantee we said the same thing. He was 2-5 last year.
I guess
going to the AFC title game. I don't know if he had a game this year, so who knows what those numbers were.
I think you're a conspiracy
3-5.
Guy.
That's just an odd number.
But you're a conspiracy guy if you sit there and you put all of this together and you try to tell me, oh, this is the NFL against the New England Patriots.
They don't want the Pats.
I'm sure that Roger Goodell will be like he was before, sitting in the stands this weekend with his wife doing the tomahawk chop with all of the other fans or whatever. But I won't think anything of it. Will you?
No.
Because you're right. Conspiracy? No. No, it doesn't happen. We should not be thinking that way.
Something weird's going to happen. I'm just saying, something weird's going to happen.
Something weird.
Who would ever predict a deflated football, right? Something weird's going to happen in this game.
Deflated
but they will football. Be deflated in this game. Because if we're going by the ideal gas
without
law.
Without the league, has a chance to law.
Yeah.
So they might not question it. But so something weird's going to happen.
What are they going to do? Pump them up every quarter?
That's a weird
You're going to have to do something to the balls.
It would be
are shrinking.
That's what happens when it's cold.
Honestly.
All right, so any leftover.
I heard that New England was going to tell them that the samples were deflated.
Knows that.
I think I need to just say goodbye to the San Diego / LA Chargers one last time.
Why?
Go ahead.
One last time. Because
knock yourself
out. Because I'm a glutton for punishment.
Knock yourself.
I couldn't help but, you know, continually troll San Diego and LA. More LA than San Diego. And I saw this headline that just made me laugh. And I was like, wow, poor LA Chargers. Because the headline was, the LA Chargers play more like a team from San Diego than LA. So the San Diego,
Can you explain the difference to the two?
So it's funny because they're mocking them for being good old country boys, which is really the only person who's like that is Philip Rivers. But it's like the Rams won. The Rams have more, I would say, star quality. There's more emphasis on their coach, who's kind of like a Hollywood type guy. Quarterback, their running back, their defensive players.
LA successful?
Just everything about it. And the LA Rams?
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, San Diego is too much like San Diego. They need to be more like L.A., like winners.
They need to have
more grit and balls like most teams from L.A. Excuse me? Like, what? L.A. teams are just like that, right?
Watch the Rams
crumble down at the Superdome. Then we'll be talking about what?
It's funny because, and then now people in San Diego have finally decided to cut ties with the team because they've been saying, hey, we've been covering this team like they're a home team, even though they're in L.A., and it's been 2 years. 2 years is over. It's time to cut bait. It's time to move on. We're not going to cover them like they still play and live in San Diego. So, once again, the L.A. Chargers, with all the success that they have, with the great record that they have, still are the redheaded stepchild in Los Angeles.
They played Carson.
So it's like the Clippers. It's like the Clippers.
It's amazing. And it will never, ever change.
Right. They don't even get to play in the same building. They get to play in the little tiny little 27,000 seats.
It's like minor league
football.
It's like a minor league stadium.
Yeah, but other than that, it's just pathetic. It's just really pathetic what they've done.
See, I don't even want the Rams to win this game. I don't want anything to do with Los Angeles. I know there were a lot of people that were saying the league wants two L.A. teams. Why would you want two L.A. teams? Each one of them do like a 17 share on Sunday with their football team. Meanwhile, the Patriots are doing 45s. Kansas City, they're doing 50s. Give me a break.
Yeah, but then
Jules can
bring back the beat LA thing.
Oh, that's right. Which is so lame in itself, but it would be interesting though.
Boston, LA, Red Sox, Dodgers.
Beat the Dodgers. That, you know what? Again, see, now you're starting to see it like me. You can be Neo number two.
No.
I'll be Neo number one. You'll be Neo number two, and we'll just get some stupid name for him like Big.
No, Bella. I already know how it's going to end. I mean, Saints are going to win the Super Bowl. I don't know who the hell they're going to play yet.
Wait, hold on. What? You're making a prediction for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And yet Rob Bradford is asking you to make a prediction today for Sunday's game.
No.
You're basically telling him to stick it up his ass.
Yeah, Rob
because
wanted.
It's Rob.
Which we're all saying.
Rob
it's
wanted
Rob.
Me to make a prediction Monday morning. Now, my question would be, if the Patriots win Sunday, do I got to come in Monday and say what the score's going to be? 2 weeks in the Super Bowl, so I said,
you, Lou.
Let me just hold off a little bit, Rob, with your tweet and calling everybody hardos.
Lou,
biggest hardo move
is yours.
Biggest hardo move is to say you're not making picks for weekend NFL games until later on in the week. Tell you what, if somebody gets hurt in practice, you can change it. Patriots 34, Chiefs 27. See, it's not that difficult.
I didn't know it was
going to
win.
Macro.
I'm not there yet. I don't know.
Right.
Sorry.
Well, Rob doesn't need
to. Make
Rob's
things up.
Rob's making stuff up. He's throwing darts against the wall. By the way,
well,
I looked
Rob
it up.
Rob doesn't have to answer to anybody. He's never on.
Oh.
I'm just saying, you can send out a couple tweets. He doesn't have to answer. Why do you think they're going to win? I don't know. I was told to do it Monday. I have no idea. I didn't really think about it yet.
So I'm part of the Wolfpack also.
I'm just saying.
No, Rob wanted to do it because he wanted to have everybody's pick on WEEI.com, which he runs.
But honestly, what is...
Stick to your lane, bro.
Thursday? I don't know.
What else do you need to see, though? Honestly, like, okay, I heard Willie McGinnis on this morning.
You're just sucking up to them.
Well, you know they're going to win.
What is the big deal? So nothing has changed. There's a couple guys that aren't playing. There's a couple guys for the Chiefs. Kareem Hunt isn't playing. There's other safety that they put on that they released that was covering Gronk all day long. Jay Shaw.
Eric Berry may play this game.
Houston's going to play.
And he may not.
Kenyard Barner's not playing now. He's gone. So, but what else do you need to see? But what do you need? What? Why do you need two days?
Christian, we know you. We know you.
Whether or not they're going to win, like what? The wind to blow a certain way.
Christian,
why are you scared of?
Why did you need 2 weeks ago? Why did you need to go out and say Houston will come into Foxborough and blow out the Patriots?
Ryan, will you please confirm that was 5 weeks ago? Please.
And then 2 days later, say something else. So Lou and I want to avoid making that switch.
It wasn't 2 weeks ago.
We want to be consistent, unlike you.
There's no.
2 weeks ago.
There's a new rule. You're not allowed to flip-flop. Once you, whatever you say now, okay, you cannot change it.
You're the worst flip-flop.
Thank you. I said it back in July.
I have no idea.
You're the
right
worst
now.
Biggest
flip-flop.
I'm not
going to
lie. What about fireworks?
I don't either. I have no idea.
I have an idea, but I'm not ready to
but,
go
but
there.
What is it? What is it that, what's keeping you from picking the Patriots?
I'm afraid.
That's what it is.
Rocky.
You're afraid.
No, the road.
You're both afraid.
The road.
That's it.
The road. And I know that if I'm sitting here today, other than the social media pressure telling me to pick the Chiefs, please, because I picked against the Pats last week, and you know it's like the reverse psychology superstition thing, right? But given what you saw last week, it's hard to ignore. But then you got to tell yourself, that's not the team you're going to see.
Thank you, Lou.
That's not the team you're going to see on the road. It's
Thank
just
you,
not.
Lou. Shut up. Do you remember the mistake Lou made? Home game against Minnesota. The Patriots are going to lose. Then he comes out of that game and goes, I think they're going all the way.
Oh, yep, I also remember
And then he
that.
Made a mistake. 2 weeks. Next 2 weeks. They were a road team.
He really
and they
learned,
weren't road warriors.
He should have learned his lesson back in October.
Okay, he's a slow learner. Stop
with the Red
on
Sox.
Him.
Okay, yeah. Picking against the Red Sox. But no,
duck boats.
It's when you see
duck
it, boats. You know it, right?
That's everybody right now is
if
wondering
nothing's
if duck
changed.
Boats. Christian doesn't want to be that guy.
So Christian,
like, I can't, you know, he doesn't want Wiggy and Chad, former teammates, to come back.
Oh,
and, like,
yeah.
And sit there and say, I can't believe you picked against his team. You're smarter than that, dude.
Shut
you're smarter
us.
Than that. So you're just going to go out there and pick
See,
them.
You're afraid of Wiggy getting into his car. You're afraid of Wiggy getting into his car and videotaping a little knock on you. That's what you're afraid of.
You vibrator. I had Wakey and Tack being like, I can't believe you're picking against this.
What else do you need to see? You have to do the M&M investments. Oh, I got to break it down with Mike because you guys are real successful, right? You always pick
500.
Winners.
No. 500,
each one
right?
of them is 0-4.
That's like, just how you started.
I don't even like doing that on Thursday. I think that's premature. You really want to do it. You do it Sunday, but I don't want to come
Assuming
in and do a podcast.
Nobody
on
gets
Sunday.
Hurt. Nobody's getting hurt. Nobody's getting suspended. We all know the weather's going to be crappy. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. There's no new information. Everybody's pissed. You got the chip on the shoulder for the Patriots. They're trying to downplay it in Kansas City. So nothing has changed. So you should be able to make your prediction
you
now.
So why you wait to hear for some comments
okay, so let me
to be
ask
made
you
by coaches, by players. Maybe somebody comes out.
Maybe
just
Teddy says
gonna,
something.
We're going to bury the Pats. They give no chance. I mean, I don't know.
It's not going to happen.
So why
you
do
have all the information you need right now.
Other than the fact that after you said that Houston was going to blow them out at Foxborough, you got
seven
a lot of...
7 weeks ago.
You got a lot of...
7 weeks ago.
Now, you got a lot of feedback from your friends down at Foxborough not real happy with you. So you suddenly had to jump on the bandwagon.
I was wondering why they weren't talking.
Exactly.
Ooh.
So you tell me, because they're last time I checked, the Patriots are 3-5 on the road. And Sony Michel, by the way, when he gets 100-plus yards, this team is very effective. They're able to do a lot of different things, play action. Brady opens up the field. Yet he only does it at home.
First-round pick for that guy?
He's done it on the road one time, and that was against the Jets. And I'm not sure we're going to get excited about that. So I'm looking at it and saying, does anybody expect you're going to get the same performance out of the New England Patriots that you got Sunday at home on the road
Maybe,
in Kansas City?
Not as dominant. I'd be surprised if they were that dominant. What, four straight scores? No. I think it's going to be a lot more. But that game plan, the way they ran the ball on those guys, they can do it. They can do it in Kansas City just like they did it week 6 here.
Can they stop Kansas City, though?
Can they stop them?
Yes.
Yes.
Because on the road, they couldn't stop the run. They stopped the run at home and did it with, they had 19 yards on the ground. They had to throw the ball after a while, so that number is a little deceiving. But still, they didn't run against
that's
defense.
That's where I'm at, because I look at it and say, I think you do. I just thought it was pretty interesting that, like, you know, Bill sitting there talking about facing Tyreek Hill a second time.
Ooh.
You know, because normally you'd just be like, you know, Bill, does it help you when you face a guy once and now you know how fast he is? Like, I was expecting on Monday to him to be like, no. You know, he's fast. Instead, he's like, yeah, I think it always helps. You know, creating angles, think different things. He talked about it, I think, earlier today with Mike Giardi, got into it as well. I think he believes that his defensive backs, safeties in particular, defending a guy like Tyreek Hill after seeing it in person, how fast this guy is, I think it would help them with sort of angles that they need to take. And I'd like to say that Kareem Hunt eventually is going to catch up to him.
That's right.
But the problem is, Christian, because then you'd sit back and say, well, really, does it matter if it's Damian Williams or Kareem Hunt? Because it didn't matter if it was Frank Gore. It didn't matter if it was Brandon Bolden. You know, it doesn't matter. Like, whoever gets the ball is getting, he has having huge games against this team, the kid out in Pittsburgh. So it's just, all right, I want to say it's going to catch up to him, not having Kareem Hunt, but on the road, it's just a completely different football.
Okay, game. So again, you knew that yesterday.
Yeah.
You knew that yesterday.
Yes.
Yet you're still apprehensive.
We're
right?
doing
it. You're still
no,
cautious.
No. Here's the
you're
deal.
You're still nervous.
Christian, here's the deal. We're doing a show. And so every day you...
Oh, so that's what you're going to hide behind?
Yeah, I'll hide behind the show.
You're going
to hide behind the show?
Going to hide behind the show?
Yeah. Some of the people in the Wolfpack are hiding behind the show.
Where's your
this
courage?
This is a debate show.
Where's your bravery?
Yeah.
Where's your heart? Where's your Al Horford heart?
Picks. No one's going to shoot
all about
me
the show.
One way or the other.
It's all about the show.
But hide behind the show.
Oh, they
like
might.
That.
They might. You'll be surprised.
Yeah. They got heart. The team got heart.
Right. But we're giving it dribs and drabs through the course of the week. Bradford wants it for one reason and only, and that's to pump up his website, which I applaud him for. He's terrific doing that. But again, stick to your lane, bro. We're doing radio over here, okay? That's what we're doing here. By the way, he did not give a prediction for last week. I looked it up. Where was his prediction? We gave a prediction, and we put it up on Twitter.
Well, don't you think you're going to make a case, though, of why they can win all week?
I want to hear it. You know I want to hear a better case
what
on why they can win.
What are you talking about?
Than hope.
But hope is not the case. No, we're not. This is not a hope deal. This is not a let's hopefully we get lucky. This is not that.
How do they do
situation.
It, Christian? They have not done it on the road all year long.
I told you
even
why.
The Chicago game went down
why.
To the end.
They still won the game.
Yeah, but
yeah, but
this
what?
Is a better team than well, so
what,
this is a better
you,
team.
Are
than
you
Chicago.
Not giving them credit?
Kansas City.
Like, you didn't give them credit for the Jets. You didn't give them credit for Buffalo.
No,
you didn't. You're not giving them winning on the road
no.
against Chicago.
No,
I mean,
yeah,
what
Christian,
do you give them
the
credit
flip
for?
Side, you're not giving them credit for losing.
No, I only take it one game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying. You know, you're sitting to say, well, lost to Miami is a fluke. Pittsburgh never
I
happened.
One game.
And
you
agree
with
this? Too much.
This
is too much for his tiny brain.
Detroit. No, I didn't.
You said what?
What do you mean? I agree with you.
I said Pittsburgh was a serious concern. We take because it's a fluke. It's Haley's Comet. It never happens, right? It's a ridiculous.
But you want to take all the losses so they don't count.
No,
when he talks about a win, you're like, oh, the win doesn't count.
You don't have to
tell me.
You don't have no. You don't have to take them out. You know, but when it comes to their losses,
yeah,
there is a direct and exact specific reason why, and again, will never happen again. Usually, a team will never have a team that they play against with so much, you know, history with,
quirks.
Right?
Quirks.
with
quirks.
Like, usually have one game, right? You have one guy that left your staff. He goes and he coaches mm-hmm. Cleveland, and you end up playing against him. Usually that's one game.
Mm-hmm.
They had three. They had three. They had Jacksonville. I'm counting them. They had Detroit, and they had Tennessee.
So how couldn't they fix this?
So
if
three
they knew
of them.
The, if they
that,
knew the,
that is,
wait
those
a minute.
Are outliers. That
nope.
is not a tendency.
No,
that
no.
is not a behavior. That is not their DNA.
Christian, if they knew the problem from the first game, that you had an ex-coach that had figured it all out, why don't you change things up a lot in game two so that you can avoid that? No, they didn't do it. And then in game three, they didn't do the same thing. Listen, I would love to hear reasons today, and maybe we'll get them from people out there, other than
people
just, other than just Yahoos, other
it.
Than
no.
just people who are sitting on. We all want the Patriots to win. It is better for us business-wise, and I think
I'll
I'm
give
like,
you one.
And I think we're fans.
And I'll give you one, because this is where, you know, it's because with every single opinion you have, you can throw a but, right? But it's them on the road. They look great, but it's a different quarterback. But they're going to be different defense. Can't do – but this team won't have seven DBs and say, go ahead, I dare you to run.
You can yeah, but the hell out of anything.
You can
right
yeah,
now.
But everything. And to me, the yeah, but when you start talking about give me a reason,
yeah.
it's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And the reason is because he's finally – is he finally healthy for
yeah.
the first time
we
in
think
6 weeks?
Certainly looked healthy in the game.
So that yeah. is – that's it for me.
All okay? right, I'll give you two.
Tennessee – hold on. Tennessee injury happens – you know, Miami injury kind of comes up again after looking outstanding. But the way he looked at the Jets, looked like he's healthy. The way he looked yesterday, he's healthy. This is, seems to me, you start dropping many men. I mean, you're going, you know, 50 Cent.
Yeah.
After the game, he's sitting there saying, you know what, we suck. We can't beat anybody.
Boom,
you know, 50
boom,
Cent
chica,
videos.
Boom, chica, this, man
are
man.
We, all of a sudden, did some Where's switch go off with Tom
me.
Brady? And he's like a...
Blood in my eye, Lord, and I can't see.
Pissed off Tom Brady
I'm
again.
Trying to be Keep what on. I'm destined to be. And brothers try to take my life
I was
going to
say,
away.
Play the real song. Listen to Christian.
I'm reading this.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, I'm
Tom
reading
Brady.
This.
Yes.
And I'm sitting there going,
healthy, pissed off. Not a good Tom Brady to play when that happens. Not a good one.
Okay, so we all agree with that one. And he did look healthy on Sunday. So the two things maybe you can rely on in this game on Sunday is that Brady looks healthy right now, so he's probably going to play at a high level. And I think there were some questions about that in the last month or so. The other one is Bill will probably design a pretty good game plan against the Kansas City Chiefs. And you're right. With Hill, they got to figure a way of dealing with Hill because it is just outright speed.
Hey, have you ever seen somebody defend one player with a guy underneath and two guys on top?
There's always a chance they'll do anything.
I'm just saying one underneath and one on top, over top, right? We always see that all the time. But it's like, okay, Devin, we're going to, Harmon or somebody, we're going to put you over the top. But Devin, I want you over the top of over the top.
He's so quick, though.
Because he's going to get past him.
Yeah, I looked at that last, that week six game. And he ended up, what did he have? 12 targets, 7 receptions, 142 yards, 3 touchdowns. But there's all broken plays, huge plays. And I'm sitting there going, okay, if we're going to do the whole all 22, I'm a fake GM, Greg Bedard, 3 up, 3 stupid down. If I want to be that guy, if I want to be trolling Volan, I'm going to try and send a message to Bill. Hey, here's what you should do next time. Here's what you should do, Bill.
I just didn't have on my 3 up. He was probably more in the 5 to 6.
So stupid. Oh, whatever, that guy does not have a clue what he's talking about, okay? So not one clue.
Film, and now it's a GM.
Yeah, everyone's got, NFL Game Pass. Everyone's got NFL Game Pass, so they're all GMs.
Oh, Bill slaps.
Mike Mayock got a job. He works with the Raiders. I think I can beat two. I know how to judge personnel.
Bill didn't just slap him down post-game in the press conference. He slapped him down yesterday, too.
Yeah, he did.
That was kind of fun.
He just took all his toys and said, beat a kid, no autographs.
Yeah, geez, that was good.
Coming into the game that they were going to continue to play with 7-6 defensive backs. Were you prepared?
I've been doing it all year.
Jesus.
But he said it all week. It was almost like they didn't believe him. The Bedard didn't believe him. All week long, Bill said, and he told us on Monday, they play with 6 DBs.
This is what they do.
The reason they played with 7, and I think he left the door open that maybe a little bit of it was with Jackson, but they had no more linebackers. They lost Brown with an injury. They had no more linebackers. So they kind of are using the hybrids, and they're saying, we'll take the speed, especially against Jackson. But he said on Monday last week, they will do the exact same thing. He told us, cover 3, Gus Bradley uses that old Seattle defense, except they're not quite as talented as that old Seattle team, and they will put 6 DBs out there on virtually every play, and he was
right. I'll
tell
you who's going to get his ass kicked on Sunday is D Ford.
Yeah, that's what they do.
If he's trying to stop them, he's going to be on skates.
Gronk.
It's Gronk, whoever. I mean, he's lean, he's tall. And if he doesn't get a jump, he's going to get his ass kicked. But
boy, you are feeling good about this game.
I am.
I've never seen you this confident.
Well, I mean, listen, it's
singing 50 Cent in the office. I mean, you're into it. I can tell you are into it.
Down to a huge play by Gronk to set up a field goal to win it. They were tied 40-40.
Yeah, but that was a home game. The Patriots, I'm not disputing.
75-yard touchdown.
I'm not disputing the Patriots at home.
Glenn.
If this game were at home, I would say, Rob Bradford, bring in the video cameras. We're ready. We're ready to give you a prediction. This is a road game. So the two things I think we all agree on, Brady looks healthy. Belichick is pretty smart. He's put together some great game plans. And, Andy Reid will put together a very good game plan because he usually does.
He's smart,
too. Confuse you a little bit, except the last 2 minutes, if you're still in the game, Andy Reid will screw it up. Still a good-looking dude, but he will screw it up. But I don't know how anybody can look at this and tell me on the road that you feel confident with the Patriots unless you're just looking at the game against the Chargers. 3-5 on the road. Sony Michel's not the same runner on the road that he is at home. It's day and night. They can't stop the run on the road.
Well, but
they
did
at home all year long, and I'll give you one
Michelle's
more.
Michel's fault, though?
No, it's the team.
Michelle has this fear of traveling outside the
Can I give you one more?
Christian, it's what you said earlier in the year. On the road, the reason why Michel struggles is because their line gets dominated.
Yeah.
The offensive line gets dominated. Defensive line gets dominated. Remember early in the year when you were pointing out a running back had the ball and you go 5 yards before you got to the line of scrimmage because they're being pushed back? Or not the line of scrimmage, but to where the defensive line was because the offensive line was pushing.
Yeah.
Same thing on the other side. So it's not necessarily Sony Michel, but on the road this year, their lines, both of them, in the trenches, Bedard, the big guys, the heavy guys, get dominated. They've gotten dominant.
Yeah. They have, and I'll give you the other one. The offensive line's been terrific at home. They are disciplined. They are protective of Brady. We come here on Monday after a home game and say, man, Trent Brown was terrific. They were terrific in the offensive line. What do we do on the road? They're not disciplined. They pick up stupid penalties. Trent Brown ends up holding from time to time, movement from time to time. And now you're going to put them in a stadium where they're going to have to operate out of a silent count, correct? They're not going to get the cadence where Brady's going to be able to play with the voice. We're going to get a silent count, and you feel confident about this offensive line? We've got a sample here of what they've been like on the road. I don't see how anybody can like this team on the road. It doesn't mean they can't win this game.
So you're picking them to lose. There it is. You just talked to
them. I'll call Rob.
Tell Rob.
Tell Rob. Not ready yet.
Lou's not ready.
No.
Glenn is ready.
Not ready yet.
I'm calling the taping.
Like, even like, so I heard Willie McGinnis on this morning, right? So Willie's on, a big Willie. He's on, and they ask him just straight up, like, do you think they're going to win? And he won't answer it either.
At this early stage of the week, do you believe the Patriots are going to earn another trip to the Super Bowl?
You know, it's a little early, like you just said, and I'm still breaking down everything. But from what I've seen Sunday, man, they give themselves a great chance to go in the Arrowhead and play a competitive game. And when you can't predict these things.
Let's stop.
I could have said that.
Yes, so predict them.
Wait a minute.
For a living. Hold on. Who's going to win and lose.
I think even Lou would say this. I'll say it right now. I think they go in and play a real competitive game in Kansas City.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
I just gave you the Willie McGinnis. Now, are you going to tell me if they're going to win or not? Dale did the video. He did the Bradford video.
This is stupid. Just do that. Just say that. No, this is dumb.
Hey, Rob Bradford, this is for you. This is idiotic to have to do a pick of the game on the Monday before they play the game. But in the interest of keeping .com happy, I'll tell you the Patriots win 27-23.
I love when you get angry, Dale, but you always get the little pussycat, Dale, at the end. You
apologize at the end. He curls into, you know. I hate you. You're a super jerk. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, he's just too nice. He can't be mean long. That's about as mean as Dale gets for a week.
Idiotic to have to do a pick of the game on the Monday before they play the game. But in the interest of keeping .com happy, I'll tell you the Patriots win 27-23.
Stop it, Dale. Attica!
Nobody knows what that means.
Their last two losses on the road weren't like the first three. They're right? Would you guys agree to that?
Yes.
Those last two losses weren't like the first three, right?
Miami, Pittsburgh, yes.
First three, they got blown out. I mean, they didn't even show up. I mean, it was just an embarrassing game.
Making my point.
So the last two. Now, and that's where I go with Tom Brady. I don't think was right in either one of those games. I think you saw the healthy, good Tom Brady in the first half against Miami. Then I think he hurt his knee in that touchdown. That's why he went down. Screw that brace thing. Cartilage, MCL, something. It just torqued it a little bit, and the pain went shooting through that knee. And the rest of the game, he looked lost, especially into the first half. Pittsburgh, he was bailing on it. So they didn't get smoked like they did in the first three games on the road. And I think that Tom Brady's knee affected those last two to go along with penalties and a fluke play. So, okay, they're in it in the end then. They play a tight game. They lose that game with Brady healthy, looking the way he's looked the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, but I thought he looked terrific in the first half in Miami. And that was a road game, right? So if that's
down,
okay. So if that's the case, I don't think anybody would argue the point that after the game on Sunday, you feel much better about Tom Brady going into Kansas City.
That's the difference in the world.
Oh, of course, it's a huge plus for New England. Huge plus, and the Belichick factor as well. Though we can look at Belichick and Brady healthy over the years. They haven't played a lot of these road games, Lou, because they've been so freaking good during the regular season. They've gotten the bye and they've got home field advantage. But when they do, they don't fare well.
No, they don't do well.
No,
but you can look at what the last three, the Denver one, when they had basically nobody playing at that point, right? Steven Jackson was your running back. They're throwing to Mulligan and Matthew Slater. Indianapolis, that 06 team, is that a good team?
The 06 team, well, they were...
As bad as they were, they should have won that game.
No, they got a great team. They had the flu. They got worn out. They were in San Diego. That was the game they won San Diego the week before,
right? They weren't that great of a team. They still should have won. They probably could have won a Super Bowl if they'd won that game.
Lou, you've been... and I think you've been right about this all year long. This has not been that good a team. We haven't sat here during the course of the season talking about this Patriot team as 03, 04. We haven't even talked about them of 01 or 13. Come on. They're still the same team that we saw before Sunday on the road. Saturday, what were
we
thinking?
It's on the road. That's
right.
The whole thing.
It's on the road. If this were a home game, I would tell you right now, there's no way they're going to lose this game. They'll find a way of confusing Mahomes, confusing the kid.
So you're going KC.
Don't so that's what it is.
Don't tell
I got a text
Casey.
From Bradford.
Hey, don't
it sounds like
don't
he's
tell
going
Bradford.
KC.
Yeah, don't
somebody
Bradford.
Get a camera in there.
Can we do a video between commercials?
Yeah.
Want
to do it now?
Please don't tell
Bradford. Want to do it now? Because he's sitting there hovering outside the door.
I'm not going to please Bradford. I'm not going to make.
This is what it's all about, Christian. We're talking it out right now.
Yes.
His eyes
are
shrinking.
Where things are going.
It's like we're on Bradford's couch right now.
But I saw it a while ago.
Yeah, but you're good. Changed your mind.
I have not changed my mind. Houston
got beat at home. They got smoked. At home. Wait, they were the team that you thought when we started the playoffs.
Okay, you're going to play it straight for a second.
We started the playoffs.
You
picked Houston to come in here and blow out the Patriots.
I went back and I looked. Before the last season, I went back and I looked at Houston again, dissected it, took out the old 22, just like GM Greg Bedard, okay? And I looked at it upside down, three different ways, right? We all were in a room together. I was like, no, they can't beat it. That was a mirage. I was looking at them wrong.
I don't remember that.
I was looking at it wrong, and I realized, okay, there's no freaking way they're going to beat them. None. And they ended up losing
to Andy,
just like I said.
That means you could change your mind by Thursday.
I think the Houston Texans will beat you.
That was before the playoffs began.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, it looks
and by
like
the way,
seven.
By the way, at the beginning of the season, I remember your prediction. You said they were not getting to the AFC Championship game.
No, I said they were getting to the AFC and losing.
No, said they were losing. Nope, you said they were not getting there. I was the only one that happened to the AFC
really
Championship.
I mean, are we really going to do this over and over again?
I had them against
If you were held accountable for every last prediction you made.
I'd be dead.
The firing squad. Get them out right now.
I'm telling you, right now, my winning percentage is 16.8. It's not bad.
Ridiculous.
Look at Mutz. Mutz is at 13.
I feel good that I hit 11-5.
That's pretty good.
And I needed a desperado to make that happen.
You did.
And 14 penalties to make that happen. Hold on. I know you're going to go to break. I know we got a lot of calls.
Yeah, we do.
Programming note.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Programming note. We have got to get to this. I'm right again. I told you guys before Kyrie Irving signed here, last year, before last season, that he would become the Celtics version of David Price.
No!
That's right.
No,
God strike me dead. That's exactly who he's becoming.
That is no chance.
That is exactly who he's becoming.
I do want to get to that team.
We're going to get to that team because I think we all have strong opinions about that. And the only people right now that may look at this team and think it's likable may be the solid green teamers right now.
Although I don't know. I think some people even, Lollipop Boy's turning too.
Ooh,
he is not happy.
Ooh, wow.
Some people aren't happy with this team. I think there's starting to be some anger, and rightfully so.
Sugar exploding everywhere. We'll get to the Celtics as well. But we open up with the Patriots, and we get to your phone calls, 617-779-7937.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF at 617-779-7937. We start with the Patriots. We'll get to the Celtics, because if you watched last night's game, if you heard all of the internal stuff that's been going on in the last few days, and you're a deep-down Celtic fan, you cannot be happy.
The team's starting to get me angry.
Yep. And
all of them.
I think a lot of people are feeling that way. To the phones we go. James is in Connecticut. Hey, James.
How you doing, guys?
Good, James.
All right. I just want to let you know, Christian, I loved your shrimp recipe.
Thank you. Well, it was gumbo. It wasn't a shrimp recipe. It was just I just added shrimp.
Expensive, though, didn't you think, James? Very expensive.
Yes, that's why I call it the shrimp recipe.
Okay, what's up?
All right, I wanted to explain to you about Patriots and why they are going to beat Kansas City.
Right.
Kansas City.
Yep.
Okay. Now, everybody was saying the Chargers were going to beat the Patriots because they're undefeated on the road. They're the greatest road team and playing against the Patriots, who are home team. So, who won? Patriots. So, it doesn't matter if you're 3-5 on the road. It's how are you playing lately? And like you guys were saying.
So, how have the Patriots played on the road recently?
Where was the last road games?
Yeah.
Two.
But
yeah.
Now,
They lost them both. Two teams that did not make the playoffs.
Okay, how did the Chargers do on the road?
Chargers had one loss on the road, and the Patriots were unbeaten at home. So the Patriots had an advantage by one game. So if you're going to look at it that way, Kansas City has lost one game at home, right?
Yeah.
And they're 8-1 at home right now. And on the road, the Patriots are 3-5, and you like that.
Okay, yeah, but I want to add something to it. You need to let me, sir.
Go.
And by the way, I loved you since Johnny Moe's. I talked to you.
Thank you.
Okay, awesome.
Appreciate that.
Thank you. Anyway, I'm going to send you that shrimp. I'm going to send you that shrimp that shrimp recipe.
All right.
Ask Ryan.
No.
Why did you cut James off like that?
I don't have control of cutting
James
off.
You just cut the guy off. I saw you cut the guy off.
The guy's complimenting you, and you're dropping the call. You're hanging up on him.
I didn't hang up. You hung up on the guy. I'm not a jerk.
He loved you since Johnny Moe's.
I was trying to be nice to the guy.
I tell you what. When you said, I want someone to tell me why, and it can't be hope.
Yeah.
That was hope.
That was hope.
That was, the Chargers are great in the road and they lost.
Yeah.
So the Patriots are bad in the road, they can win.
Yeah.
That was basically to summarize that 4.5 minute conversation that we just had. That's what it is. Because they're so bad on the road, they can win.
I don't want to be the contrarian here. I, like all of us, I think we want the team to win, but somebody's got to convince me here because I'm not there. Trevor's in New Hampshire. Trevor.
Hello, man. Good afternoon.
What's up, Trevor?
Three reasons why the Patriots can win.
Quickly.
It's going to be 8 degrees with like -5 with the wind, and Tom Brady is like 15-3 or 15-2 in cold weather games.
Define cold.
Sony Michel can run the ball really well against this team, and the offensive line is looking really well, pushing the other defensive line backwards.
At home.
So he can run the ball. And, I think, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have more Super Bowl wins then Andy Reid does.
Andy's got zero.
That's a fact.
So there's three reasons right there.
Andy has a better stash.
All right, there you go.
There you go. See, everybody's citing the same stuff. They're not looking at the reality of this season. So, yeah, I've already thrown it out there. Belichick is a genius. People who have been listening to me over the years know that I've said that time and time again. I think he's great. The best coach of all time. He'll come up with a good game plan. And the point that Lou was bringing up, we have a new Tom Brady. He looked a lot different on Sunday. That's a big factor.
That is it.
Big factor.
That's everything.
Big factor.
I mean, you got to go back, and everybody sort of poo-pooed the whole, you know, when he actually told people that it was his brace, and that's why he went down. I mean, do you remember what those numbers were? He just threw his third touchdown to Rob Gronkowski. He was like 16 for 19 for 3 touchdowns, I believe, or something stupid.
Yeah.
At that point, they went 11 for 23 the rest of the way. The next possession, he took a knee, basically. He took a sack with no time left because his head was thinking about protecting his knee that hurt. Then he goes to Pittsburgh and puts up 10 points in a place that he usually dominates, and he's chucking the ball, stupid interceptions, and he's falling down, throwing it. He was protecting his knee. And I feel even more confident saying that now after watching him the last couple of weeks, especially here on Sunday in a playoff game. So that is your difference. If Tom Brady never went down after throwing that touchdown in Miami, they put up 40-plus and win that football game. And if he's not nursing his knee, he goes to Pittsburgh and I think overcomes penalties. So, yeah, there's your hope.
Yep.
Tom Brady is healthy.
Yep.
And he wasn't when you were on the road the last 2 games.
Right. Hasn't played well in Kansas City because his offensive line has had trouble because they can't hear the signals. So we know there's a history there, bad history, in Kansas City. And here's the other one. We talked about this. You got 4 young quarterbacks going into this year's tournament, postseason tournament, and only one of them has played really well, and that was Patrick Mahomes last week. He's the one guy that you could sit there and say, oh, not flustered a bit by this, right? Not flustered a bit.
I would agree.
The other young kids were crapping their pants in that in the first game. Here's Bob in Waltham. Hi, Bob.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Bob.
Hey, after I get done with the Pats, I'd love to have like 30 seconds to a minute on the Celtics because I am definitely angry. As far as the Patriots, why they will win, Brady's healthy. He was at the last 2 road games. Here's another one, though, that gives me some hope. And no, I'm not confident, but I think I could say there's a good chance they're going to win. I think they might be peaking right now.
Ooh.
And we won't really know that until we see them on the road because you got healthier, Brady.
That's my point.
You've got Edelman playing better. He had his best game of the season easily this last game. And you know what else? looks to me like they're using Gronk a little bit differently.
They are.
And they're using him as a power blocker, and if they keep doing that, I think they might be able to run.
Yep.
My biggest fear on the road is that Kansas City might be able to run against this defense.
Okay. So what you just said was another hoping and wishing, because you said they're peaking. Hold on.
No. You said you hope they're peaking. Yeah. You think they're peaking. Yeah. That's basically hope they're peaking.
That's what we're doing.
I think they have a good chance. I'd be willing to bet a little bit of money on the Pats.
Mutt's going to be homeless by next Friday, let's see how it's serving him right now.
And by the way, I do not think that Kyrie is at the David Price level. Yeah, he whined. He's doing every damn thing he can to make these bums play well, and they are bums, and that's an acronym. B is for bad attitude, U is for underachiever, M is for mediocre, and S is for suckers. That's us fans who are suckers to believe that they could be favorites to win the title.
Great, thanks for the spelling lesson. Now, you wanted to rant on Kyrie Irving.
You want me to do it now?
Go ahead. Rant it. Bring it out.
I got a lot to say.
We'll still talk Patriots. We'll keep the Patriots on the floor. Hey, go ahead.
You know, there's this.
You need to lose music. You're gonna get real angry.
No, it's not. I'm not there yet.
All right,
but I'm sitting there. You know, the Celtics have lost three in a row, right? And while the Patriots have been going on this run and playing great and getting all the attentions, the Celtics are circling the drain. The Celtics are imploding from within. Tons of team meetings, lots of come to Jesus discussions. Kyrie Irving constantly calling out guys on the team, but not naming them. There is a huge problem with this team, and it is not fixable unless you start getting if you commit to getting rid of a bunch of these players on the team right now. Because if you don't, it ain't getting fixed. Jaylen Brown isn't changing his attitude. Kyrie Irving is not going to change his attitude. Marcus Morris is still going to be the dominant alpha male, telling these younger guys what to do and calling them out when they don't do it. And they don't like hearing it. And Jaylen Brown's the worst one. But at the same time, if Kyrie Irving continually called people out, I think I would start having an issue with Kyrie Irving overall.
Well, I tell you, for the first time, I felt like I did yesterday. And I felt like it because Kyrie, you know, I'm the leader of this team, and I put it on myself. I take responsibility. And then, you know, he talked yesterday, even before he even played the game, and he repeated the same thing. And it's like, you know, it's funny because you take this leadership role and you wear it. You're the veteran. Yet every time I hear you speak, you're calling out other people. It's not you. You know what I mean? It's not you. It's I know. Almost like he should look in the mirror and say, dude, you're starting to sound a little bit like LeBron in Cleveland. You know what I mean? That you're going to take this young group and how hard it is on you to convince all these young players that you got to play on the same level. Now, obviously, a guy like LeBron, there's probably a lot of truth to that. But when you hear Kyrie constantly say, you know, I'll take responsibility, and yet everything he says is calling out the younger players. You know, he's pissed at Hayward for throwing the ball into Tatum and not basically to Horford and giving him the ball. He's pissed at the young guys for not getting it and not figuring it out. And I thought, like, Jaylen Brown, to me, is still a guy that's in turmoil that doesn't know what the hell his role is. But I felt like yesterday, for the first time, really kind of fired back at Kyrie Irving. Did you hear him postgame?
Yeah.
Okay. We just got to have each other's back at the end of the day. We can't make comments. We can't point fingers. We just got to continue to empower each other and have each other's back. If we don't, start pointing fingers, everybody's going to go into their own little shell. We got to continue to play basketball. It starts from the top to the bottom, not from the bottom to the top, but from the top to the bottom. So we got to continue to empower each other and make the best of this. We got a lot of talent, and we know what we're capable of doing. We just got a matter of going out and doing it, playing.
Most revealing part of that, you pointed it out to me because you played me the video because I saw it last night, didn't pick this up. But the eyes are rolling when he's doing it. It's like Adam Gase at the press conference yesterday. You know, the eyes are rolling.
It was so much contempt.
It was like, he was rolling his eyes on Kyrie.
I don't know who asked the question, but the question was, you know, Kyrie had some comments, you know, talked to the media, had some comments. And the minute they said Kyrie had some comments, Jaylen Brown just sort of looks up to the left and Adam Gase, you know, rolls the eye a little bit, like, oh, yeah, Kyrie's talking again. Kyrie's got more comments. Yeah, everybody's got issues. Let me guess. He's pointing more fingers. And then when he says it starts at the top to the bottom, not the bottom to the top. You know, it's the top to the bottom. He said it again. And so it's not the bottom of the roster. It's not the young kids. It starts at the top. And it just was like, huh, that was the first time. Now, I think both of them are kind of correct because I'm not really big on some of what we've seen from Jaylen Brown this year. It does look like he whines and mopes an awful lot. I understand that. But it was the first time where it was just sort of like, Yeah, I understand what he's saying. This guy is sitting there saying, taking all the responsibility on himself. But every time I hear him talk, he's blaming everyone else.
We're just going to have each other's back.
I had a totally different take on this one. I loved the original comments by Kyrie Irving after the game the other night. What he basically said is what has become painfully obvious, maybe to everybody but Brad Stevens, and we'll get to him today. But what Kyrie Irving was saying is we have young kids who don't get it, who don't understand it. Veterans get it, understand it. You need to get a top seed in this league. You can't go out and play before your home crowd when everybody's cheering
and
you and rooting you in a home game and blow out these teams in four games in a row and then go on the road and get your ass handed to you. Okay? Why? Yeah. Because you don't carry mental toughness on the road and you're sitting there going, it's a fun game and I got my sneakers. They're being debuted in a couple of days. I don't care about busting my ass. That's what the young kids are doing. Terry Rozier was an embarrassment last night. Scary Terry? The only one who's scared is Scary Terry right now.
Chest bump between he and Tatum.
Oh, my God. He was embarrassing.
And did you like the easy bucket on the way down because Brooklyn was trying to inbound the ball while those two guys were chest bumping?
That's a problem.
They looked like the night at the Roxy. Like the two brothers that were like, yeah.
These young kids care about themselves and their own game and their own accolades. They don't give a rat's ass about the team right now.
The whole self-righteousness with Kyrie needs to stop.
No, he did. And that was the problem I had with it. He should not have come back. He came back last night. They put the microphones, didn't play.
Talks too much.
They put the microphones in front of him last night. He couldn't help himself, and he backed it up. Beep, beep, beep. You know why he backed it off? Because those guys get pissed off at him. And you know there was conflict.
No,
they got pissed off at him.
And here's the thing.
Why did he back off last night?
He's right in the things that he says. It's just that you say it once to the media. Maybe because you want to work them to get the message, whatever it is. But it's like now, it's like he keeps going back to the well. Like the media, they see Kyrie, they're like, oh, put a mic in front of him. This guy won't shut up. Like, he'll go on and on and on and on. And if we keep asking questions, the longer we keep him here, the more he's going to tell us.
But he backed up last night,
Lewis. And the more he's going to bury his own teammates publicly, or he's going to talk about all the issues this team has internally. Keep him internal.
He didn't do that last night.
Keep him internal.
But he did just the opposite. Last night he said he's never going to do it again with his teammates.
Yeah, we'll see.
So why do you think he said that?
Because
they had it out.
Yeah, but do you believe
that? He didn't solve anything with the first thing he did. That tells me dysfunctional. And where is your coach?
Well,
where is your coach last night?
Oh, yeah.
He knew it right off the bat. 3-point shot to open up the game. Had to call a timeout. Why? Because nobody was going to play defense tonight. Why, Brad? Because your team is on the road. And they don't carry mental toughness. They're not willing to go the extra effort on the road. It's too hard for them. He may be great as an X and O coach, though the other night that last play, he didn't design it. It was screwed up. But where is he right now? In checking egos, in dealing with his team.
Wouldn't you say that this is the first time he's had to deal since he's been coach?
Ever. Well, okay, even in college.
I'll give you that. Okay,
ever.
College, you're, you know, it's
he's great
young,
at developing
easy,
young players.
Young guys, and they probably all get along. And at that point in time, he was probably young, and they had a lot in common.
They're all overachievers. Okay. That's all he's coached over the years.
But now you finally have some static. You have some, you have guys that aren't getting along. You have guys that are, and I would say if I'm Jaylen Brown, and you can say what you want about Jaylen Brown, but you look what that team accomplished without Kyrie Irving. Without him, they got pretty damn far.
There were
in
no
the
expectations
Doesn't
on
matter.
That team.
Doesn't
they
matter.
They could play free. Now
Doesn't
you ma- have...
Oh, you think they were just playing free? It
yes.
Like they were playing together. They were playing unified. They were all on the same page. They all knew what was at stake. This wasn't playing free.
And
they
both
were playing
them,
as a team.
And Tatum was able to go out there and score 24
yeah, but
25.
You're acting like,
he can't play that role anymore.
If I'm Tatum, I'm getting so sick of this guy telling me what I should and shouldn't do and how I should act. You're not LeBron James. Like, I get it. You think you are, but you're not. And oh, by the way, I was here before you. We were fine without you. And now you're coming back and you're screwing everything up.
You think that should be the attitude that Tatum or
no,
Brown
I'm
should
saying,
have with Kyrie
saying,
coming back?
I can
or
easily,
Hayward coming
I can
in here? You're crazy.
How
Those are
Brown
all star players.
Is sick of the
Kyrie
nonsense.
Irving has won.
Okay, fine. You won one. You won one championship.
Right.
Fine. No one's saying that you didn't, but you're not a Hall of Famer.
Christian, let me tell you.
They're not bronze.
Let me tell you,
if
these Green Teamers out here think that they can sit in a fourth or fifth seed in the NBA and they can do damage in the postseason, you're fooling yourself.
No, I agree
they have
with
no
you.
Shot.
That's different. Okay?
They'll get knocked off in the first couple rounds.
Okay, but if you have somebody constantly coming at you, I think
I don't think he's constantly coming at them.
Brown, I think, has some. Well, every time. What do you mean? Once is enough.
He's done it once.
Once is enough.
When's he done it? Where's the track record of him doing it on a regular basis?
He has done it a couple times.
Kyrie did it earlier in the year. Remember the flip-flops? They were going to be fine. Then I think they lost to Phoenix or something like that. And he came out after the game.
Yeah, but he wasn't really calling them out.
I
thought the other night was the first night that he actually. He brought up one comment about we need a 14 or 15 year vet. He threw that one out there. That obviously was a backhanded dig, not direct, but a backhanded dig at the young players. The other night after the Orlando game, I thought he was specific.
Arms up against Horford.
And is he wrong? I think he's right. Rozier, Brown, and Tatum are all the problem.
He might be right, but now the question is he going about it the right way? Which brings it all back.
Where's the coach, Lou?
To the super coach. Jesus, will you get some control of your locker room, Brad? Like, listen to all this internal issue that's going on. I'm hearing an awful lot about player meetings. I'm hearing an awful lot about tough love. And you know what? It ain't working. What's your message?
I'm telling you.
Why aren't they getting your message?
I think we're all Brad Stevens fans because we've seen what he's done in college, what he did here, how he's able to develop young players. But this is a whole different set of circumstances. And is there anybody out there that looks at Brad Stevens with what he's dealing with this roster as a fifth seed right now and looking at it saying, Jesus, Brad's doing okay. Give him a break.
You watch that
Brad's
game
gotta
last night.
Brad's got to do something now.
That game last night, I know Kyrie's out. I know Smart is out. You got Rozier, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, Marcus Morris, and Al Horford.
Should be enough.
There ain't no damn way the Nets should run your ass out of their building like they did in the third quarter. That was
27.
Freaking embarrassing. This team is completely the opposite of the Celtics teams everybody fell in love with the last 3 years because of the way they played the game. This is the complete opposite. I dislike this team right now. You're beyond the halfway point. I don't know if it's going to get any better, but right now I don't like this team at all. I don't like watching them at all. Last year when they were down 14, 15 points, you knew they were coming back to win it. This year, they're down 30. They're going to lose by 20.
When Lou gives up on a team like this
and switches over to HGTV and watches a little House Hunters, you know you're in trouble.
But you know what that means. Hold on, do you know what that means?
I switched over to the Bruins and watched them give up a shorthanded goal. I'm like, this is freaking beautiful.
This is freaking beautiful.
Good timing.
But I watched the overtime.
Shut everything off.
All right, we get to your phone calls.
Hold on.
What is it?
Hold on. So should I say it now or you want to wait to get more information like your pick for the Patriots?
But they're not good anymore.
They've played more than a half a season. Stop it.
Likeable?
They're not likeable. You think this group is likeable? This group, I mean,
they're not.
They're losing ball games and they're dunking and chest bumping each other while the team's going down, getting easy hoop.
Game.
And Stevens calls a timeout right away. So you figure, you know what happened to that? Hey, listen, guys, great dunk, Terry, but you and Tatum, you're chest bumping while they're getting up easy hoops. Can we figure this thing out? So you know what? They're so mentally tough that they took a little tough love, and you know what? They got their doors blown out in the next 4 minutes. They went like a 17-1 run after a little tough love.
All right, we'll put the Celtics on the table as well as the Patriots. Give us a good reason. Please, how do they win this game in Kansas City?
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Do little things that matter. And when you win, you want to taste it again. And, you know, I never want to come from a place where I don't want to sound like or make it feel like I don't want to win a championship. Sometimes I may come off and say things and never to question my teammates in public like that ever again. But I just want to win so bad. Like, came from a place where, you know, I asked for a trade and I'm coming here and I believe in this organization and I want these young guys to be successful. And in order to do that, we all got to be on the same page and have that mindset that a championship or nothing. And sometimes that could get the best of me at times.
See, unlike these two guys, I liked what Kyrie said the first time around. I did not like that last night. Once you say it, you deal with the guys in that locker room, you deal with the coach, and you try to use it to your advantage. You sit there and say, this is our problem. I'm a team guy. I'm the leader on this team. Let's make it work. You don't come out a day later and say, I'm never going to talk about my teammates again. Because that's not true. Because in the height of emotion, somewhere down the road, you're going to get pissed off and you're going to talk about them again. And people are going to come back and say, wait a minute, you said you weren't going to talk about your teammates. This, to me, was disturbing. Apparently, it did not go over well with his teammates, what he said after the Orlando game. And that's why he had to do the mea culpa last night. I'm sorry.
I think it's because it's the second, third time he's done it. That's all. I mean,
so if the,
once
the,
is fine.
Okay, so we played the sound of Jaylen Brown talking. And what you missed was, obviously, the visual of him completely, so much contempt for
Adam
the
Gase
question.
Roaming the room.
Rolling his eyes and just like, basically, are you freaking kidding me again? But this guy, this question, but he's been involved with pretty much almost everything, right? You go into the Marcus Morris, like a little shoving match. That was a Jaylen Brown episode. The sound we just played, that was a Jaylen Brown episode.
They all have blame. I mean, you blame
no,
all
I
of
know,
them.
But it seems like he could be the biggest problem.
Well, you know it's another problem? We were talking about during the break. Are we good? I mean, how much longer are we going to give Gordon Hayward a pass? Last night. I mean.
3 points.
They benched him.
No Kyrie Irving. No Marcus Smart. Say, okay, it's a Gordon Hayward night, right? Like, you know, Terry Rozier, whatever. Okay, Jaylen Brown night. Gordon Hayward night. It's awful. It's awful.
He's protected.
He's minus 22. I mean, plus minus. He was minus 15 the third quarter. He played 5.5 minutes.
Yeah, he is protected by that injury.
And I get that, it. It was a massive injury. But, you know, what are we going to do here? Next year, we're going to get maybe one good year. Then, by the way, he's got an opt-out after 3-year. So we get one good year. He's going to opt out. Thanks for $100 million for 3 years. What, we're going to give you a little bit of next year?
That's exactly what it's going to be.
I understand the injury. Timing. And everybody wants to give him a pass. But are we good yet or no? Can he start playing?
But I know,
he had two good games against Minnesota.
I think you're running out of time. I think by now you expect him to be back. But the problem now I don't think is physical, Lou. I think it's a dysfunctional roster. That's what it is. And here's the other one.
Get it together, Brad.
Here's the other one.
Figure it out.
Because I know sometimes it's unfair, and athletes get pissed off at you when you go on the radio and you sit there and say, they're not giving an effort or whatever. And usually, the athletes are right. A lot of times, we look at bad performance, and we cite effort when effort is not a part of it. Effort is a part of what the Celtics are doing right now. When you go out there and you play well, and you've got a two-point lead, and then you go and give up 44 points in the third quarter because of lack of effort. And by the way, the one thing you can say about the Brooklyn Nets, especially at home right now, they're playing their ass off. So if a team's going to play that hard, better match it. 36 last night. You better match that effort and that intensity. And they're not.
I haven't even touched my guy.
Who's your guy?
Al. You know what? Because it's banged up hurt, Al. So I feel bad. I feel bad.
He's broke. He looks broke.
Get off Al Horford's back.
I mean, he's broke. Yeah. When Baines comes back, you're talking about not just limiting his minutes, you know, like every other night. I'm limited minutes, period.
Right.
He is broke. He's not even close to the same guy.
I agree with you.
There's not many Horfords out there, right? If there were, those teams would be in the Eastern Conference finals.
So you can't pick on him right now, right?
No, I can't. I can't even go with it.
So it's a below-average knee. Right?
Yeah, he's broke. What it is, I can't pick on a guy that's broke.
See, that's what I like about Louis. Oh, he's compassion.
So much compassion.
Really cares,
right?
Cares about people. Yeah. Doesn't he? Really does. To the phone calls, both the Celtics and the Patriots on the table. Here's Nick from CLNS Media. I'm sure he wants to talk some Celtics hoop. Go ahead, Nick.
Guys, it's almost scary to think that they seem undisciplined.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads right back to the coach, right?
Yep.
I have never seen a team that every loss, there's eye rolling. There's talking to the media like, "Shut up, leave your laundry in the locker room." Like, I just don't get it, and I don't blame Kyrie. I mean, somebody's got to say something.
See, I don't either, Nick. I'm with you.
Hold on. Nick, I mean, you don't blame. I mean, honestly,
he's the leader. He's got to do it.
I know, but
coach isn't doing it.
He's making it worse. He's making it worse. No, they obviously. You tell me, Nick. If they respected him, they wouldn't be rolling their eyes. They wouldn't be talking amongst themselves. They wouldn't nod their head yes in a group meeting and then go talk smack when they left.
We're talking about, but we're talking about one guy here. We're talking Jaylen Brown, Kyrie Irving. So Jaylen Brown has been rolling his eyes for the entire season. I mean, fighting with his own teammates on the bench. The coach has to get control of the team. I love Brad Stevens, but this team is undisciplined, out of control, and I hate to say it, kind of mentally weak.
Yep.
They suck on offense. They don't play defense.
And on the road. They suck on the road. Look at Milwaukee. Look at Toronto. They're both really good road teams. Celtics suck on the road. But Brad's never done this before. I hate to tell you, he's never done this before. If you look at his history, you look at his history in college, he had the overachievers. He had the guys that were not picked by Duke, that were not picked by Kansas, not picked by Kentucky, right?
He had the underdogs.
Yes.
And they were fighting from behind. Right. Now they're the favorites. They got a bullet. They got a bullseye on their back.
Okay, so
they seem ill-prepared.
Okay, so, Nick, you always had kids there and young players in the NBA in his first few years here, in which were just happy to be here. Now what you've got is guys that are stars. Guys in their mind, the three young kids think they're stars. And guess what? The audience made them stars last year. Scary Terry became a personality in a matter of days last year. And he look at him on the road last night. D'Angelo Russell pulled his pants down.
It's annoying as hell. I'm not predictive, but when they started with a BWA bench with an attitude in preseason before they even launched a shot, I knew that there was the overconfident complacence. That leads to complacency, and they lack discipline.
All right, so bench without
makes Brad Stevens look bad. Now, yep. I firmly believe that sometimes the criticism means more when it comes from your peers. You know what I mean? So I had a lot of managers that are like, listen, you want a players meeting, I'm out of it, because it's going to mean more coming from you guys to discuss what you need to do. And I believe that. But it seems like that's not getting it done. And I only have to imagine that Brad is relaying the same messages all year long. It's the same stuff, different month. I mean, we're mid-January right now.
Oh, this
is. Do you have any idea that you think it's going to stop mid-February?
No.
Mid-March?
No.
No, how many more team meetings are you going to have?
No,
how about a coaches meeting? How about you said it too, Christian. I mean, if you really respect Kyrie Irving, you only got to say it once, and then things look different. The fact that they don't tells me they don't respect what he's saying. They think it's lip service.
Here's what I think. I think all these guys accomplished so much. They all kind of recognize or realize that what their ceiling was without him, right? Look how much we accomplished without you.
That's the
problem. I got a nickname. This guy's this. This guy's doing this. We're all doing this. All this stuff without you.
That's the problem.
And here, you're telling us what to do. You're the self-described leader of this team. You're speaking for all of us. It wasn't that way last year. And oh, by the way, like before you tell me to shut up, Kyrie, you weren't even here for that last game we were playing in the Eastern Conference Finals. You weren't on the bench. So don't talk to me about teamwork. Don't talk to me about togetherness. Okay? I'm not hearing it from you.
You nailed it, Christian. That's what it is. It is, especially the young kids, the three young kids, are looking at it and they can't respect Kyrie Irving because they think they accomplished something. Okay? Here's the problem with what you just said. They've accomplished squat. They have done nothing.
Well, that's what he's trying
to
tell
them. The East was a disaster last year. And guess what happened? What was Cleveland? A three seed. And then, you know, Toronto was scared to death of LeBron. And then they got smoked in four straight. And because LeBron's the best player in the league, they went on to get the NBA Finals and you lost. Right? But they haven't done squat. Look at the East. It's better right now. And without Kyrie as the leader and the closer in games and guys understanding their roles, they're going nowhere. But I think you nailed it. I think that's their attitude. We did it without Kyrie. What the hell do we need him for?
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly Auto Parts.